Amen. Brother Kenny's got a message on his heart, or just a few words, maybe 5 minutes worth, and I didn't have anything, but now I do. So what do? You mind the Lord. This morning on the way to church, and I know you don't text and drive, all of you innocent ones don't do that, but I shot my daughter a text while I was driving to church this morning, my other daughter, the one that's in Rhode Island. And I was just curious. Daddy wanted to know if she's found her a church up there yet. And I know she had been to two different ones, and I had found one, and I desperately wanted her to try it. And I don't know, it may not be where God would have her, but it was an independent King James only fundamental Baptist church. It sounded like Calvary. It was, the name of it was Emmanuel Baptist Church. And I like the name Emmanuel, God with us. I like that. So I shot her a text, and she was going there. And what she's doing is trying to find something that's convenient to their home. And I understand that. You say, why are you saying all this? Because I won't tell you. Every day during the week, she's going to be driving 995 to Boston. It's a busy road, Brother Gary. All these truckers know it. They try to avoid it. And I heard her mama talking to her last night, or talking to me about talking to Mara. And she was asking Mara, is there any way that you can get off on a side road? Any way you can take a detour? Man, God just got a hold of my heart up the choir. If you've got a copy of God's Word, go to the Genesis real quick. I won't be but just a minute. Go to the book of Genesis just a minute. Chapter number 15. I got to thinking about this. I used to have an old Nissan truck. Many of y'all know the joke behind that thing. And I was going to Georgia, Augusta, Georgia, to sell that thing. And that guy had told me on the phone, I'll give you X amount of money for it if you just get it down here. He said, drive it down here. In other words, don't bring that thing down here on a rollback. Don't call Bobby Patel and say, bring that thing down here. He said, if you drive it down here from Wilkes County, North Carolina, it's good enough. I'll give you that. Because if it's roadworthy for you to drive 4 hours, I'll give you this amount of money for it. So Cindy and I struck out. But knowing how that thing was subject to lay down and quit on me, Macy and Jake said, well, we'll just go with you. We'll follow you. And that way, if you break down, you'll have a way on to wherever you're going. So me being a big boy, stopped in Highway 21 down in Statesville and got me a sandwich at Arby's. And it boiled over on me while I was sitting at Arby's. And I thought, good gracious, beast is about ready to lay down. As long as I was driving and there was air coming through that thing, she was fine. Varun had diagnosed it, and he knows a little bit about cars. Anybody knows Varun knows he knows a little bit about cars. But that was one of those that was demon-possessed. I don't know. So we're going on down, and then we run into traffic down around Troutman. And I told Miss Cindy, I said, honey, we're going to have to keep this thing going, because if I stop in traffic, we're doomed. You said, what are you getting at, preacher? You'll know in about 2 seconds. So I got over in that emergency lane as long as I kept driving. I'm one of them people y'all call this idiot. Who is this idiot that's over here thinking he's going to pass all these 150,000 cars that's dead stopped on I-40 going towards Charlotte? You know the idiot that gets over in the throat over there in the emergency lane, and he's just driving, and you're thinking, who is this nut? Boy, I'd like to have some spike strips. Open your car door. Here he comes. You know how you do. Throw something out the window. Stop this rebel. I had to keep it going, so I got over there, Varun, and as long as I kept air coming through, she's fine. And what did I do? I took a detour. I got to the exit and took a detour. I took a left and went across, and I run a side road, Highway 21, run right beside I-77. And while we're driving 55, 60, 70 mile an hour down 21, I'm waving it to people over on 77. I'm on a detour. But I'm going to show you something really quickly. Sometimes life's detours are often very costly. That's whenever you're going down here, you're going to eat, and instead of squaring up at the interchange down adjacent to the Dodge dealership in Carolina West, what do? You shoot through their parking lot, going to shoot through there, cut the corner off, then get down there and blaze a trail across 5 lanes of traffic to get over there to the cookout so you can get you a milkshake. How many times have you ever seen somebody do that just to get over there and then them sit over there waiting on traffic for the next 20 minutes because they couldn't get out when they got over there? How many times have you going to shoot through the parking lot and the next thing you know, there's more speed bumps in there than you ever realize. Everybody's backing out and all the 80-year-old ladies and 90-year-old men with canes and everything, they're walking right in front of you and they're like, "Hey, sonny." So that little shortcut, that little detour that you decided was the one you wanted to take, it ended up costing you more than if you just stayed on the path. We're here, and you don't have to stay. Just listen to me for a minute. I don't even have the microphone, so if I move here, you likely won't hear me. But God had a plan. God had told Abraham, "You're going to be the father of many nations. You're going to have sands of the sea for children." But let me tell you, they decided in themselves that we're going to take a detour here. We're going to do it the way we want to. And in the chapter of 15 of the book of Genesis, and let me tell you, this all is coming from, this is hot off the press. I have no note. I have a King James Bible, and a preacher over here is wanting to preach. So you just listen for a minute. The Bible said, "After these things," chapter 15, verse number 1, "the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, 'Fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy excellent great, exceeding great reward.' And Abram said, 'Lord God, wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless, and the steward of my house is Eleazar of Damascus?' And Abram said, 'Behold to me, thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. And behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, This shall not be thine heir, but he shall come forth out of thine own bowels, shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad, and he said, Look now toward heaven and tell him the stars, that if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, So shall thy seed be.'" Go on down now with me just a little bit. And it verse number 13, "And he said unto Abram, Know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in the land that is not theirs, shall serve them, and they shall afflict them 400 years, and also that nation whom thou shalt serve will I judge, and afterward shall they come out with great substance." And listen, verse number 16, "Now Sarai, Abram's wife, bare him no children, and she had an handmaid." Here comes the detour, my friends. I told you, and I was talking to Cindy about, is there not another way to get from Pawtucket, Rhode Island, up to Boston, other than going up I-95? Is there not some detour? Let me tell you, those detours sometimes will cost you. You'll get off the interstate and you'll think, "I'm going to shoot through here." And the next thing you know, you run over somebody's brood sow out here on some back road that got out of their fence last night. You run over somebody's prize bull, Brother John, because you decided going through the country is going to be better than just staying the course. Well, God had given Abram and Sarai the promise that he's going to have some children, and bless God, they're going to multiply like the sands of the sea, but Sarah didn't have none. So look at this. The Bible said that they had an Egyptian handmaiden whose name was Hagar. And Sarai came into Abraham and said, "Behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go into my maid." You tell me a wife anywhere worth her salt that would say, "You have my maid, you have my handmaid, and she'll give you the child." Let me tell you, that is a costly detour. Let me tell you, some of you in here today may be trying to think of a better way to do this than what you're doing right now. But God, you better stay the course with God. Let me tell you, waiting's not easy. My brother, waiting is not easy. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Waiting's not easy. My brother Chris, waiting for a mate, that's not easy. I know that you want a wife. And the Bible said it's not good for you to be alone. And the Bible said if you find a wife, you know what you found? And he said he found a good thing. Yes. Some of you want children this morning. Let me tell you, you keep on waiting. You keep on working. I didn't say stop working while you're waiting. You keep on doing what God's telling you to do. But don't take an unnecessary, costly detour in your life, because it will be just that. You know what Abram could have said unto his wife, Sarai? I said, "You want me to take your Egyptian handmaid?" You know what he could have said right to John? He could have said, "Sarah, I love you. And if God has promises, I'm just going to trust God. I'm going to trust God rather than trusting you to give me your handmaid." There ain't a wife in your day that would give their husband up to their handmaid and say, "Let's go this route." That is a costly detour on the law of God. And it cost him, but that wasn't supposed to be. It wasn't supposed to be that way, Brother Chris. You just want to keep waiting. Job said unto his wife, "What?" He said, "You speak like, go ahead. You speak like a foolish woman." Abram could have rightly said unto Sarah, "Wait a minute here. Let's just trust God. You're speaking foolishness. What I'm hearing is that you want me to take your handmaid, the handmaid that God hath given us, that has been with our family, and that has been a great source of strength and help to us, and you want me to go in unto her that we're going to bear a child? But no, what did he do? He just listened to Sarah. Sarah said unto Abram, behold, now the Lord hath restrained me from bearing. I pray thee, go in unto my maid. It may be that I may join... obtain children by her. And Abram hearkened unto the voice of Sarah. And Sarah, Abram's wife, took Hagar, her maid, the Egyptian, after Abram had dwelt 10 years in the land of Canaan, and gave her to her husband, Abram, to be his wife. And listen at this detour, and I want you to see the costly nature of this detour. He went in unto Hagar. And she conceived, and when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. Did you hear what I said? What happened? Wait a minute. This thing didn't work out like I hoped that it would. I told you it would be okay, and I'm here to do that. Boy, I hate her. I can't stand that. I can't stand the thought that you have been with her. And the Bible tells us that sometimes our costly detours, they're just that. They were unnecessary. Shouldn't have even happened. If we had just trusted God to start with, we wouldn't have had to go down that road. But look what had happened. Is that not exactly what happened, Brother John, when Anna said, I found a lusty for my sister Tamar, and the Bible said that he had a friend in Jonadab, which was his cousin, and he said, make yourself sick, John, and get his ungodly counsel. And then he went in and he raped his own sister. What did he say after the rape? He said, I hate her. That's what he said. Well, here it is. It says that Sarah, in verse number 4, he went into Hagar and she conceived. And when she saw that she had conceived, her mistress was despised in her eyes. And Sarah said unto Abraham, my wrong be upon thee. I have given my maid into thy bosom. And when she saw that she had conceived, I was despised in her eyes. And the Lord judged between me and thee. But Abram said unto Sarah, behold, thy maid is in thine hand. Do to her as it pleaseth thee. And when Sarah dealt hardly with her, she fled from her face. Many relationships, many church problems have created themselves. Many family problems have been created themselves. Because, Brother Vermouth, we decided to take a costly detour. And we thought just shoot them this parking lot. That'll get us where we're going. But God, you better stay on the way that God has established. If he said the good steps of the righteous hands, they're ordered by God. And you'll just go with God. Don't think that you know better. Brother Scott, we'll just shoot through this parking lot right here. I'll go around this. I got a ticket one time for passing somebody on the right of an intersection of the highway. Brother John, I'd have been better off just sitting back here waiting. Because that trooper saw me. He pulled me over. And he said, can I see your driving license and registration? I said, sure, officer. And he said, well, the reason I stopped you is because you passed on the right of an intersection of a highway when you should have just waited. Brother John, it was a costly detour. It cost me $185. Why? Because of the fact that I couldn't wait. You said, well, what did it cost Abram? What did it cost Hagar? What did it cost? Well, it cost a friendship of a handmaiden and a wife.
Yes.
Brother John, it cost, listen to this, a nation to have a man by the name of Ishmael and a man by the name of Isaac, the promise of God. And it brought enmity between the two that's still there to this day. It's a costly detour. Some of you right now is right in the middle of a decision. You said, you are too, preacher. I'm in a decision. I'm in a decision daily. A lot of you know God's will for my life. For you, I say hogwash. You don't know the will for my life. You don't even know it for your own. That's what I say to you. You say, look, I know what I do. You go ahead and walk in these shoes here. There's number 10s, every one of you. You can wear them, get up here and put them on. Anybody wants to be a pastor, try it out. The most thankless job in the world. You're criticized for doing right. You're criticized for doing wrong. You preach something out of the Word of God and it's bald before the people and they get mad at you.
Yes.
Tell me why that is. I'm just telling you what the Bible says. I love it when you people, instead of giving your opinion on social media, whenever the Bible says something and some of these people fly up in your face, if you just put a verse of Scripture, bless God, they get mad at you. That's not your opinion. That's the Word of God. So, oh, yeah. Hey, Brother Chris, whenever they tell you all the things they did this week, you got killed. And I'm telling you, if you give me a scripture, they can't argue. If God has fixated your eyes on something down the road, if God has given you a promise from His pages of His book, you trust God.
Amen.
Don't try to circumvent the plan that God hath enabled and put you in the middle of. Because I'm telling you what, some of these detours are costly.
Amen.
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 They're costly. Amen. My wife and my cousin is a town one night. Busted a deer, 67 parts. If that was another detour, I would have that deer. But you know what, Brother Gary, I was right where I was supposed to be. When you bring it up there, even when you're on the right path, even when you're going the right direction, sometimes you will hit something.
Right.
I'm telling you, that thing rolled off my hood just jam. I thought, what in the world? Where'd that thing? I'm in town. That thing come from nowhere. Boom, busted that thing. I was on the right path. I was going the right direction. I was going the right speed. And I still hit that thing. Sometimes I'll tell you, you're going to be with God. Going straight where God said go, you're still going to hit an obstacle.
Amen.
You're still going to run into something. I'd rather hit that thing wide open in God's will with Him behind me and Him being the wind behind my sails. I'd rather be with Him than get off on some dog-leg detour over here thinking, okay, I'm going to go around all this stuff. You cannot circumvent God. You can't go around Him. You're going to go through Him. You don't get to heaven, you better go through the blood. You can't get around it. Can't go over it. Can't go under it. Brother Ben, can't go. You got to go through the blood.
Amen.
Got to. Come on, preacher.
Amen.
That cost you none of that.
Pastor Mark said in the very first verse that he read in the book of Genesis, God told Abraham to fear not. God laid this message on my heart 2 weeks ago. If you were here on the Sunday night when the pastor opened up the prayer room, he read some of the, and referred back to the, some of the scripture that I want to read tonight or this morning. And after that, during revival meeting, the Brother Jason preached out of the same scripture that God had laid on my heart. Do you think yesterday I wasn't on my knees and I wasn't praying to God? You know, the devil said, he said, you can't get up there and preach that again because you done heard that twice already. Youngs, I'm going to tell you something this morning. I'm just going to take a minute and share with you just a little bit what God has laid upon my heart out of this scripture today. Youngs, I believe all of us in the building today has had or going to have difficulty in our life. I mean, we've got things popping up all the time. And I myself, as a pastor, when the phone rung, I was in shaking because I knew that there's somebody in trouble. But I want to tell you today that the Bible said in the book of Mark, in God's Word, in Mark chapter number 6, the Bible says there in the Scripture, He said this in verse number 45, and straightway He constrained His disciples to get in the ship and go to the other side before unto Bethsaida, while He sent away the people. And when He had sent them away, He departed in a mountain to pray. And when He had come to the ship, there was in the midst of the sea and alone on the and He alone on the land. And He saw them toiling and rowing, for the wind were contrary unto them. And about the fourth watch of the night cometh unto them walking upon the sea, and would have passed by them. But when they saw Him walking upon the sea, they supposed it had been a spirit, and cried out. And they all saw Him and were troubled. And immediately He talked with them and said unto them, be of good cheer, it is I. Be not afraid. I want to tell you today, children, we need to not be afraid, amen, of what things that come in our life, no matter what they are. I'm glad that God knows my name. My friend, He knows my name. Listen to this. This just blessed my heart. I can't hardly stand it. The Bible says in Isaiah 43 and verse number 1, but now this thus saith the Lord that created thee, O Jacob, and He that formed thee, O Israel. He said, fear not, for I have redeemed thee, and I have called thee by thy name. Thou art mine. Praise God, youngs. I'm telling you today, God can take care of anything in our life. Amen. Don't matter what it is, just don't be afraid of God. And my friend, put your faith, your trust, and your hope in Him, and let Him take control of whatever situation you're in today.
Amen. I was absolutely scared to death to try to preach this. But I'm telling you today, young enough, when I got up this morning, I went in there at 5:30. I got on my knees before God. I said, "Now, God, you do what you need to do in this message today." My friend, God said, "You preach it." I asked the pastor just for 5 minutes. My friend, I'm telling you today, it don't matter what's in your life, what's coming in your life. My friend, God said, He spoke to him, and He said, "This, I am He. Be not afraid." Youngs, I believe a lot of times we're afraid to come give our heart to God. We're afraid to step out on faith. We're afraid to trust God in the things that we're doing in our life. God said, "Be not afraid." The Bible says in chapter number 6 of the book of Mark, it says it again, to the centurion that's daughter had died. "There's nothing other than my wife and my daughter, my friend, is precious to me today." That centurion was come and told Jesus, said, "Lord, I've got a daughter that's dying. Would you come and just touch her and give that life back to her?" My friend, instead of coming right then, Jesus healed the woman with the issue of blood. And then all of a sudden, there's some folks come back and said, "Listen, Mr. Centurion," he said, "your daughter's already dead."
Right.
You know what Jesus said? He said, "Be not afraid." Oh, praise God, youngers, I'm not afraid this morning. I'm not afraid. I'm not afraid of Him. I'm not afraid of the Holy Spirit of God. I'm not afraid to stand, my friend, and tell you today that Jesus will take care of every need in your life today. Sometimes tragedy comes and we get afraid. Sometimes situations arise in our life that we get afraid. When I hear those sweet words, "Be not afraid," oh, that just calms me down like a little kitten. I read over there in the book of Isaiah, he said, "I know your name." Praise God, I'm glad God knows my name, youngins. He knows where I live. He knows how to get a hold to me. Praise God, I praise His name for what He's doing. And I want to tell you something, I'm not afraid.
Amen, preacher.
My God can reach down and touch and heal. My God can take care of anything in our life that's wrong. He can save to the uttermost. My friend, He can help us through anything in this walk of life today. I am not afraid. Jesus looked at him and said, "Listen, it is I. Be not afraid." Young and I beg you tonight, this morning, if you don't know Jesus as your personal Savior, be not afraid of Him. He wants to save you. He wants to put His loving arms around you and draw you to an old-fashioned altar and get your sins under the blood of the Lamb of Jesus Christ. Youngers, as you're facing a tragedy this morning, I'm going to tell you, Jesus said, "It is I. It is I. Be not afraid." I'm going to tell you, there's nothing like the peace of God that can come in the hearts and lives of His children that will give us that blessed peace just to trust Him, obey Him, and live for Him today. I love you this morning. God wanted this. I couldn't help not to get in the pulpit this morning and share with you. God said, "Be not afraid. Be not afraid." God loves us this morning. He cares about us. Brother Pastor, all right, if I give an invitation. Macy, if you would. Just come. Brother Scott, would you get a song? Youngers, if you're here lost without God, be not afraid. It's Jesus that's the one that's doing the drawing. He's the one that's got to hold that heart.
Amen.
And squeezing on that heart. Youngers, if you got something going on in your life that you can't take care of and you know you can't take care of, I'm telling you right now, God said, "I am He. Be not afraid." You'll bring it to Him and let Him take care of what's in your heart and your life this morning. Youngers, if I could, I'd touch all my family. If I had the power to heal all my family, I'd go to each home and I'd put my hands on them and I'd pray and God would heal them if I had that power. But I don't have that power. But I know one that can. Amen. My friend, he said it is I. My friend, just the very sound of his voice, them disciples knew who he was.
Oh, yeah.
I'm gonna tell you something. You know the difference between when the devil's trying to deal with you and when God's trying to deal with you.
Come on,
please. Devil tells you no. God tells you, oh, come on. Be not afraid. Don't be afraid. Come to me. And I'll take care of things in your life. Would you stand with us this morning, Father?